If you enjoyed these podcasts, check out Byron Reese's newest book. It's about artificial intelligence and covers all the topics addressed on Voices in AI. It's called The Fourth Age: Smart Robots, Conscious Computers, and the Future of Humanity, and it's available now wherever fine books are sold.
This is Voices in AI, brought to you by GigaOM, and I'm Byron Reese. Today, we have a good guest for you. His name is Frank Holland. For the last 7 months, as of this recording, he has been the CEO of Aptus, which we'll hear more about. Before that, he had a long and accomplished tenure at Microsoft, where he was a corporate VP. He holds a BS in operations research and industrial engineering from Cornell. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Hey, it's great to be on. Thanks a lot, Byron.
I always like to start off by just putting up signposts. What is intelligence? Or if you don't like that, what is artificial about artificial intelligence?
that is exploring esoteric, isn't it? You know, I think that you could safely define intelligence as the ability to reason. And what makes it so different from any other kind of rule-based algorithms is that, or apply logic to certain scenarios, is that you're able to not only work your way through a problem in an organized way, but do it in with broad pattern matching and the ability to recognize trending as you do it, which makes it so tenuous to be able to grapple with to when you want to apply it to any sort of a compute type of environment. That's where I think that, sort of the state of the art is right now as people make the transition from the philosophical question, what is intelligence, to the idea of turning it into something that's broadly scalable.
I'm with you on that, but I guess I always like to ask the question because I'm really wondering, is AI mimicking intelligence? Is it feigning intelligence the way like artificial turf isn't really grass, just trying to look like grass? Or do you actually think it's intelligent? And I don't actually have a horse in this race. I don't even have a weak opinion for that matter. But I'm kind of curious because to me it speaks to what are the limits of these systems we're building. Are they actually smart? Or are we just figuring out a kludgy way to imitate intelligence and it's going to kind of cap out pretty quickly?
Well, I certainly think it started there. You know, the idea that you could build rule engines that could take logical trees and break them down into sequential processing parameters is something that we've been doing. Man, I remember working on those my early days, even before I think the term artificial intelligence got coined. And what we were working with was really just very early vestiges of machine learning. So is it synthetic? Yeah, I think it is to a degree. I mean, it almost has to be to be able to put it into an environment where you can reliably repeat it using the sorts of instructions we give to a compute platform. The notion, though, that you can take neural nets and apply it to, and you know, other sister technologies around that, and apply it to hard, thorny problems where we may not even know how to ask the question, could be the beginnings of what it makes it truly intelligent. And I think that where the human isn't able to keep up, not just in terms of scale, I mean, that's an easy one to understand, but in terms of knowing how to approach a problem, or like I said, knowing what question to ask, is where you could start to see some real intelligence coming out of what sorts of compute problems we're throwing at the world right now.
So, we have figured out this trick, and I don't mean that term pejoratively, like a magic trick. We figured out this trick of machine learning, and it's a pretty simple idea. It says, take a bunch of data about the past and study it and look for patterns and make projections into the future about that. And so you can imagine there's a range of problems that's really good for, like, it's good when the past and the future are very similar. Like, what does a cat look like? It's not that different from day to day. Do you believe that, like...
Probably won't change overnight. You're right.
No, but something like a cell phone might,
Yeah, true.
So my question to you is that when you think, and we're going to get to your company and the challenges of kind of simulated speech, but before we get there, like, do you think the Turing test kind of problem where you can ask the computer a question and it can answer it in a compelling way, does that actually behave that way? Can you, if you had an infinitely large corpus of, you know, writing, could you predict the next thing I'm going to say?
I don't know that the state of the technology is at a point where it could do that. The human mind is so complex that the next words out of your mouth are probably not even known by you, depending on a whole variety of variables that you can't
rutabaga
incorporate.
Who saw that coming? Right.
Exactly. I bet you didn't even a second ago.
No, I was like, what is the word I'm least expecting? I don't even know what a rutabaga is, quite frankly, but go ahead. I'm sorry. So what can a computer do along those lines? Like, what are the boundaries of, like, well, we can do that kind of now.
It feels like where we are today in terms of practical applications, and that's what I'm all about. You know, I don't want to get into, because I'm not a data scientist. I'm not a, I don't hold any kind of credentials in the computer science area. So I wouldn't be a good one to ask, what does technology afford you to do? I only think about the